Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up.
The type of people made the club before. Many a day has passed.
Hey man, spring football is back. That means your favorite podcast is back, man, with some content. We're gonna discuss some spring football, some transfers. We're gonna dive into the dumpster fire that is the Gators. I think at some point we at least, you know, just throw a passing shot. Definitely, man, come in and join us. We know we've been gone for a minute, man. Sam, what's up with you, man? What's been going on?
Man, it's been crazy. It's been crazy, man. I think we wanted to record almost a month ago, and man, I had so much stuff going on. My granddad passed, so, and he went, you know, real slow. So it was like, you know, he had went in the hospital, and you know, he didn't want to die in the hospital. So he was like, you know, I want to go back home, you know. So we, you know, we all kind of chipped in to kind of be there for him. That last, I think it was like 2 months, I think they're like at the end. So, you know, then he finally did pass after February, and then, you know, we had to get the funeral stuff and all that stuff together. And right. Then between that, you know, and I had already told you, I was already making a move, you know, so that I had that going on and, you know, amongst other things. So, you know, it's just been, it's been a whirlwind, bro.
Man, I feel like I say this at least once every 6 months. It's just me and Sam. You know what I mean? Like, so when life happens, man, we just gotta, you know, we take a break, we come back and we'll regroup for y'all. You know what I'm saying? So first of all, we're sorry for your loss. I know, you know, we reached out to me and you have had, you know, a couple conversations or whatever just in the while you were going through everything, man. But it's definitely been it's been a minute, you know what I mean? It's been a minute, but again, it's just me and you, Sam, man. So anytime you say, hey, man, I just need a minute. We got to take some time to, you know, again, and it wasn't like it was not going on in football anyway. We love all the podcasts out there, man. And it's a struggle, man, to try to figure out how some of these people come up with content every day with nothing going on, but shout out to them, man. But we finally got something we can really cover. Things have slowed down, like you said, for Sam, and slowed down for me as well. We finally got used to the baby. You know, we kind of finally got a good sleeping schedule. I feel like I've actually had, you know, a night of rest a little bit, you know, so now really? The baby's getting a little bit, again, not a lot.
Okay.
I've just had I've had more than what it was at the beginning, man. If I can get a good 4 or 5 hours of sleep, which is what he's giving us, you know, at night before he really want to wake up, and then he'll lay down for another 4. Or I'll take that, because, you know, it was like an every hour thing at one point, you know, and that ain't.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I mean, you know, I've had my son pretty much by myself for like since he was 3 months old. 3 months old, but I will tell you, he didn't, like, as a baby, he slept, dude. Like, he didn't bother me too bad. Like, now I'm not gonna lie, he getting it all back now. Like, he getting it all back now, you know what I'm saying? He getting it all back now. But when he was like a baby, it was just me and him. You know, he would go to sleep, wake, like, feed him, go to sleep. He was good, you know what I'm saying? Those was like glory years for him, you know.
No, man. Apparently, well,
he getting the back now, though. He don't go to sleep now, bro. Like, especially with this time change, like, he going to bed at 8, he back up at 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, talking to me. I'm like, bro, you got to go back to sleep.
You got to go to sleep. Yeah. See,
it's been, but man, though, that's good, though, man. Congratulations on the little one. Them first couple months be scary, though, right? I used to always check to see if my son was breathing.
Oh man, I do it all the time. Like if he sleeps for like 2 hours, I wake up in a panic. You know what I mean? After about 2 hours, I'm like, oh, what's going on? You know, I gotta go up there. I touched his arm a little bit. He was so tired. He was looting around my mom's house the other day, and they just kept him up. You know, normally he's usually asleep after about an hour, 90 minutes max. You know what I mean? At this age, man, they had him up for about 3 or 4 hours just playing and I was like, he got in the car and he crashed. I don't think he woke up. We probably left my mom's house like 5 o'clock. He didn't wake up till like 8:39. I had to go in there and touch his hand a little bit. Like, you all right over here? Yeah, he'd been sleeping that long during the daytime, man. You know, we get a little nervous. So, yeah, I'm with you. Those first 3 months, man, you just keep checking to make sure they're breathing, man. That's crazy.
Yeah. You got the first couple months. You get out in the first couple months, you feel like you accomplished something, though. But, I see Till Dog say he laid his mom down to rest, man. You know, man,
rest in peace, man.
Rest in peace, man. Yeah. It's tough when you start laying those older people like that, people that shaped your childhood and shaped your who you are as a person. You know, they start leaving. Right. It takes great effect on you, man. Great effect. So, you know, anybody that's lost anybody, man, condolences, man, because it's been tough. But, man, what was he going to talk about? So I know we want to get into a little bit of some of the positions that we feel like a lot better this year. We want to get into, make sure I get this right, you know, a couple of potential portal players that we think, you know, guys that might see the portal. Camp matchups and camp competition, how much is better this year, man? So where you want to start?
I mean, I guess since the spring practice was just yesterday, I don't know if you been reading some of the reports out of the spring practice. First, I think you said Jordan Travis didn't practice. So, you know, or didn't compete in the spring practice, I think, according to Mike Norvell.
Makes sense to me, right? That would make sense to me.
Well, I was going to say, I think that's actually a positive thing, right? Like, if you listen to what Mike said, he basically said he was killing it. You know what I mean? He's been killing it in practice, playing at an elite level, and just didn't need to see anymore. I mean, if you tell me my fifth-year starting Heisman Trophy candidate quarterback is balling so hard to where he don't need to come, you know, he don't need to even compete in the spring. We don't need to see anymore. We know what we got here. Man, that's a wonderful thing. You know what I mean? We went into, I think, last season, still not sure who was going to start, you know, what we have, I guess, year before that, really, we weren't sure who was going to start. So to see the progression again of Jordan Travis of, you know, all right, we don't know who we got in this guy. All right, we're going to make you compete for this one last year. All right, this is your team. Let's see. And now this year going into it, hey, I don't even need to see anymore. You're playing at that high of a level. I think it's all positives, man. And so that's a dope thing, in my opinion, when you look at the maturation and the maturity, but also he's had a lot of press that's come his way and he's still been focused to come in the spring and still be able to get his, you know, and to say for the coach to basically look at him and tell him that he had no need to, you know, we don't need to see anymore. We know what we got here, and to let, like you said, Glenn take, go live with it. So.
Yeah, man. It's one of those things where I feel like, the position groups are so stacked. I think, they're so stacked that I think that and because the offensive lines are, you know, you have a little bit more depth at offensive line now.
Mm-hmm.
I think you really can push these quarterbacks, especially younger quarterbacks, put them in certain situations, really get a good evaluation on them now. You know, in the past, I don't think that was possible. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
In the past, I don't think that was possible. But, you know, now I think it is possible. So it's really good. And then with Jordan Travis, like, you know, he's got to get to that point now where he's got to be the leader of the whole team, which he was last year, you know. So, you know, him being more like a GA, you know, assistant coach in those situations where he's with the whole team while they running these drills and stuff, I think that's a good place. I think we're in a good place with that. You know what I'm saying?
No, I think that's a very good place. Again,
he's played a lot of football, so.
And again, he's been – I don't want to say, you know, knock on wood, but he has been a little bit, you know, accident prone or injury prone. So
that's true.
You know, if we don't have to take, if we don't have to get him hit, if we don't have to see him live, you know what I mean? We don't need a twisted ankle. We don't need, you know what I mean? So I think I look at Mike and Mike said, if this is how you're looking right now, I don't need to see anymore. Keep, you know, watch it from my perspective. So that way you can see something different. You know what I mean? And again, but it's just, it's a testament to Jordan being in a better place. And, that, again, it's a place that we didn't think we would see 2 years ago. I know for sure when we started last season, I didn't know. I didn't think we knew what we would see out of Jordan Travis. We hope he'd take a step up. And he did. Mm-hmm. He took strides. You know what I mean? We asked Jordan to win games last year for us, and he did. He literally put the team on his back in a couple games, and we saw it. And so I think next year, man, it's a special year for him. But I think that was a big, big positive. You know, that was one of the takeaways I saw. You know, Jordan Travis is basically standing with the coaches. Good problem. I think one of the other
tells you that it kind of helps you with your development in 2024 with some of the young guys too, you know. So I think it's all around good thing that Norville's letting Glenn and Duffy and Tate, you know, grab most of those reps in springtime. Yeah, I think that's a good thing.
Now, I do think they have. You think they have one too many quarterbacks, or you think everybody's sticking around?
I think they got. I think the quarterback situation is gonna be fine, right? I think after this year, maybe one guy leaves after the year. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I think for now, I think all your quarterbacks are gonna be there. You know, I think that it's really gonna depend on what goes on with Duffy and Glenn. That, you know, who comes out looking really good this year, and you know who the team and who the coaches believe can play. Because I mean, you're already going to bring in like probably a top 50 quarterback next cycle, Luke, the Comahawk kid. So, you know what you're doing that. I mean, of course you're gonna have some guys decide I don't want to be here anymore. You know what I'm saying? So, but right now, all eyes for those young quarterbacks should be taking a job in 2024, getting as good as you can get. You know what I'm saying? So they're in a good place. And I think they're going to see reps, man, because I think it's going to be a lot of blowouts this year. So they'll get reps. So the opportunity to play and grow and develop, I mean, I don't see a reason why anybody would leave, to be honest with you. And at the quarterback position, I'm not talking about everybody's position, but quarterback position.
But the quarterback position. All right. So along the lines of camp competition, right? I think that second DN spot is up for grabs. And according, again, camp reports, Peyton. You know what I mean? Like, I know on the timeline, it was, I guess, towards the end of last season. Everybody wasn't sure. I hedged mine to Peyton being that second DN spot opposite of I don't know why his name just escaped me.
Jared Verse.
I don't know why his name just escaped. Jared Verse, opposite of Jared Verse. Yeah, right, the 40s. They turned 40 and all of a sudden just memory go. Can't remember simple things. But opposite Jared Verse, man, I think I picked Patrick Peyton. And to see, you know, the size he's put on, they talk about him being better at run stopping, which I always thought he was actually better, in my opinion, than Jared Verse in run stopping, because I thought he was a little bit less bull in the china shop. Like, he wasn't just trying to get off the edge. So I always thought it was a little better than Jared Verse in run stopping. So to hear him, you know, improvement on run stopping, but also getting to the quarterback as well. Good news. Cause again, I think of all those other defensive ends, Patrick Peyton is elite. And I also believe that if your DNs are able to create pressure, it makes your entire defense look better. You know what I mean? If those DNs and your defensive line is able to just, you know, create with four, man, that frees those linebackers up. It helps your DBs look better, which is why I think you also see an improvement in Greedy Vance, you know, according to camp reports. So, I mean, the defensive end, but I guess, how do you feel about the defensive end competition as a whole? Because, and also just, you know, Peyton shining right now.
You know, it's weird to me because I don't know why there's this big push with the defensive ends as far as, like, people saying, you know, like, I know they were talking about Derek McClendon, you know, potentially getting in the portal or whatever. I'm kind of thinking to myself, like, why would he get in the portal to me? Because, I mean, you're gonna play a lot, you know. He's gonna play a lot. His body type doesn't scream out, you know, NFL pick, right? I think the best he can do is probably do that, though. Well, yeah, I understand that, but I'm saying in general, like, it's hard to imagine him going. I mean, it's just hard for me to see him leaving somewhere like Florida State, going to a program at the same status, the same place, and getting playing time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't see that for him. You know what I'm saying? I like McClendon. I like McClendon a lot. You know, I like the McClendon more than other people like the McClendon when he came out. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I do think he's still good. I think he's a good player. The Gilbert Edmond kid and Patrick Peyton. Now, Patrick Peyton has a little bit more talent than McClendon, right? He's a little faster, a little quicker, got a lot more bend to him, not as stiff. So it makes sense to me, as he gains weight, that he's going to eventually, because he's the type of guy that could eventually become a second round, third round pick in the NFL draft. You know what I'm saying? He could become that. So it does make sense to me that you will see him being featured a little bit more and being playing a little bit more. So I don't know what the McClendon beef was, to be honest with you. I do know kids feel certain kind of ways about who gets exposure and who does. Because I heard it was like something like, I can see, you know, you bring in a bunch of transfers, and this is the kind of drawback when you bring in a bunch of transfers, that you're going to upset a la carte of the other kids on the team. You know what I'm saying? Like, why you putting them in front of press conferences and doing all this stuff for these people that just got here, they haven't earned the right. You know what I'm saying? I get that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's why I'm always kind of like, you know, taking a couple transfers, not 10, 12, 15 every year. But, you know, we did what we had to do to be a good season this year. So I'm not mad at them for doing that, you know?
Right. This may come off insensitive, and I'm going to say play better. Be better.
Yeah.
Nobody has to recruit over you if you're better. You know what I mean? If your position's solid, you holding it down, you doing what you need to do, then nobody brings in the transfer portal. If McClendon was up to par or whatever you need, then there's no need to bring in you know what I mean? There's no need to bring in anybody over top of them. So right. I look at, you know what I mean? So I look at it and say, just play better, man. That across the board. If you feel like your position is not safe, then go out there and compete for it. Go out there and fight for it. And that's really what I think Mike Norvell is asking. And that's why he's bringing in these guys. I know they feel like, you know, I imagine McClendon should feel like, hey, man, I've earned it. I put in a lot of work. Work harder. Yeah. You know what I mean? I understand. You know what I mean? I get how you're feeling. I understand how I paid my dues. I put in time. But Florida State, I think this season, whether we may want to believe it or not, or whether we think it's a realistic possibility, they're competing for a championship. Or at least they want to be competing for a championship. Yeah. They want to be in the playoffs.
It is a possibility. You know, it is a possibility.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's right. Not crazy. It's not insane.
No, you know, not at all. So they believe that they're competing for a championship. So if they believe they're competing for a championship, then you got to bring in elite level talent. You have to have good players playing. And if Mike looked at McClendon and said, he all right. He's a very solid player. He's a good rotational guy. But we need a difference maker. Then, hey, either go prove to the coach that you're a difference maker, or they're going to find somebody to better than you. Like, that's just the nature of college football right now. You know what I mean? There is free agency. It's basically wide open free agency. These NIL deals, the way things are working, the landscape is different than even from when he came into college. You know what I'm saying? So right now, man, it's just everybody. If you know you're on the fringes, hey, either, like you said, he ain't transferring to another big school. So that means he's going to have to take a step back. I'd imagine he'd probably do better off as a rotational player. And that's why I think if he is flirting with the idea, I think if he really sits out there and talks, he's probably getting interest from UCF, FAU.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, I mean, that level of program, I don't know if he, I mean, you know, somebody maybe Louisville. Like
Louisville, like Carolina, North Carolina, South Carolina. Not South Carolina.
No,
I mean, South Carolina, you know what I mean? Pretty high level,
right? So I mean, he's not going to another championship team. That's, in other words, so I think he can look around and he can say, I can either be a rotational piece, a good rotational piece on a championship competitive team, or I can go and be a starter on a non-competitive team. He's gonna have to decide which one is best for him.
Yeah. And I think that got a lot to do with it. So I mean, we'll see what happens with him. I'm a big fan of McClendon, to be honest with you. So. Yeah. But I think the defensive end group is going to be interesting because, man, they do need Peyton to step up, and they do got Verse, and that's two guys. But, man, you know, after those two guys, it's not a lot of special there. You know what I'm saying? It's not a lot of special there. So they need to get guys to be pretty special. They need some special guys there. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. You go, yeah,
and
like
Peyton,
I said,
players don't have to step up. Yeah, Peyton got to hit a ceiling, you know, because he got a higher ceiling than most of those guys in that room outside of Verse. So, but outside of those two guys at defensive end, you know, they're not very dominant right there. So that's something they got to really work on. What about D-tackle? They talking about D-tackle, man, is like pretty good group.
It should be, right? I mean, they've added in the – go ahead.
Somebody's talking about Daryl Jackson probably being like the better defensive tackle that's been there. Even though they say Fabian's not practicing right now.
Is that surprising, though? I mean, I know we looked at Miami, we said Jackson, you know, may not be whatever, you know, we thought he might. I actually like Jackson. You know what I mean? I think, and then if you look at, all right, who they brought in, outside of Fabo, he really has a legitimate shot to compete, to get that starting spot. I know you know, there's been a lot of raves about some other players, but at the end of the day, Jackson actually came from a I don't want to say quality program because Miami is a dumpster fire too, but he came from a quality program. You know what I mean? He came from a quality program. So right. I'm honestly not surprised that Jackson mm-hmm. would be the one who would, you know, step up early. I think he had the easiest transition.
Well, I think Fisk and Fabo, I think, are hurt, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. But I mean, again, Fabo, I think, is secured in his spot too. You know what I mean? If you don't have to roll Fabo out there, I don't think you need to roll Fabo out there.
And that's another group. Well, that's another group where they need some attrition. Like, you know, Malcolm Ray probably need to, you know. Just saying.
Listen, I've been very clear. You know what I mean? If you're not cutting it, they are trying to compete for a championship. You have to, there's going to be levels. Somebody is just going to sit on that bench and not. They ain't gonna get very much playing time. If they want to be along for the ride, I'm not gonna tell Malcolm Ray to hit the portal. If Malcolm Ray want to sit there and get in on spot duty whenever, you know what I mean, in some blowout games, by all means, Malcolm, you know what I mean, be there for it. Give our players some rest. We can get out early. You know what I mean? But in the competition between really is Fisk and Jackson, right? I can see Jackson starting early and Fisk coming in late and Fisk taking over later on.
I think you get a rotation of Fabian, Fisk, Jackson and Briggs in big games, and I think you see a little sprinkle of a Joshua Farmer, you know, a little sprinkle of Farmer to go to supplement those guys. But I think that's pretty much what your rotation is going to look like with those guys, you know.
But that's a good rotation, you know what I mean? Considering what we had, that is not a bad rotation by any stretch of the imagination. You know what I mean? Like, if you tell me if you just stop at the four, if that's the four we're rotating out, I'll take it all day.
Yeah.
Especially from where we've been at. You know what I mean? From where we've been, the fact that we got four rotation pieces, because it used to be, you know, you got one in the possible. You know what I mean? Like, or you got a couple possibles. You don't have a handful of, you know what I mean? You got a handful of spades.
And so like I kept saying last year, I wasn't overly impressed with the defensive tackles last year. I know everybody else used to make a big deal about them. I never thought they was good last year, to be honest with you. You know, I thought in big games they got bullied and pushed around. I mean, they had some moments. They would have moments in games, but to me they wasn't consistently dominant. So I think with a deeper rotation, you know, now they look like they could become possibly be three deep. You know, I think they could probably be a dominant unit in big games. They could be a difference makers in big games now. You know, I didn't feel that way last year. You know, I felt like a lot of people was just lying to themselves in those games. But this year, Sam, I feel like they got a possibility.
I tweeted out in the middle of the Florida game, the entire D-line need to come back. That includes Fabo, that includes Virgil. In the middle of the Florida game, it was very obvious that none of those guys were ready to take that next step. Like, Florida was the best offensive line they had seen, and with a first year coach who, from all looks, seems pretty incompetent, looking a little funny in the light. We'll say it like that. Yeah. And they got dominated. They got dominated by that offensive line. So I said, nope. Yeah, everybody got to come back.
And then they got pretty much dominated against Oklahoma with a bunch of backup offensive linemen. You know, so it's like, you know, I wasn't overly impressed with those guys last year. But I think with a deeper rotation, I do think they can be dominant. So I'm still more so in a wait and see situation with this defensive tackle group. I know people are very excited about them, and I'm not saying don't get excited about them, but I need to see them. Like, that LSU game is going to tell me a lot because, you know, Fisk coming from, I think he, I don't know, wake up some lower school, you know, I got to see him against LSU. Fabian played pretty good against LSU last year in spots at certain times. You know, I thought the D-line was dominant in that game, but I also thought that they would be because that was LSU's first game with a first time, you know, with those offensive linemen they was putting together in that, you know, that game. But so I got to see this defensive tackle group actually take that next step and be a dominant group. The schedule says to me that they should dominate 9 out of the 11, 12 opponents that they're going to play. They should dominate those opponents. You know what I'm saying? So
it's a money year. For all that entire D line,
it was a money year for Fabian.
No,
last
he
year.
Still had no. He still had a. He still had a. He had
a money year for Robert Cooper.
It was for Coop. Nah, but he still had. Yeah. I mean, I think I look at Fabo, and I think he still was like, I can come back for another year if it don't work out. Verse two, right? Verse knew he had another year to come back as well. This is the money. Verse ain't coming back a second time, and Fabo can't. You know what I mean? It's a money year. I think you look at a lot of guys, and I think you say they saying it's all or nothing. We came back, we put all our chips in the table for this season. I imagine those guys are working their ass off in order to, you know, in order to make some in order to make some real differences and impacts in these games. So I actually believe the defensive line will be what we think they will be. And they'll be dominant this season. Again,
it's taking us some time to get through these. So I think we're just gonna do just the defense this episode. We'll go to the office next episode. Because I was just looking at the time, like, damn, we had 25 minutes already. Okay, so I was like,
right, we don't only talk, we just got to defensive line. Yeah, to the defensive line.
Yeah, yeah. So the next group is the linebacker group, which they got to take a huge step too, man. And when I say taking steps, I don't mean they're not a good group, that they cannot beat most of the ACC teams. I think they can. I'm talking about as far as competing and probably winning a national championship, going to the Final Four, you know, this such and such, you know. Bethune, Deloach, I think we know what they are. I think both of those guys have kind of hit their ceiling, you know what I'm saying? They two quality backers. I think with them being in the scheme another year, I think Bethune will be a little bit more physical, and I think Deloach, he is a physical guy himself, but I think he'll have a better idea of what he's doing also. But they gotta find something outside of Lundy, and I'm curious what Gant can be. So if Omar Graham and Gant can step up, I think you can have a pretty solid group there. Plus, you do get the – I'm going to say this right here too, man. I'm all in love with the true freshmen that's coming in and everything, man. But don't we kind of do this every year in springtime? We get some true freshmen in, everybody kind of talks them up, and then we don't see them the whole season. Like,
that's exactly what happens. That's exactly what happens. Like every year, again, you won't hear me mention a freshman. Maybe when we get to the offense, you know what I mean, next pod or whatever it is, when we get to the offense, I may mention a wide receiver.
But I mean, we do this every time. I'm not too concerned about the kid that come from Cali that's going to be a true freshman. Like I said, I don't foresee a true freshman coming now. If that kid can come in and play, that'll be great. But they got to get a little bit more depth at linebacker. And Deloach and Bethune got to play. I think they got to be a little faster. They got to play a little faster, a little bit more physical for them to get what they're trying to get at. And I think with a better D line in front of them, I think we could see Deloach and Bethune take that next national championship type step.
Well, that's what I was going to say, right? I think starter wise, I actually think our two up front are very good, and I do think they will take another step this year, right? I think they were a bright spot last year at times, and they definitely flashed. They were a huge upgrade from what we had previous years, so. Yeah, you bringing them both back, I think it's huge. I do think that makes a big difference. I think those guys will play faster. I think they'll play smarter. Another year in the system for Bethune that allows him, you know what I mean, to flow, like you said, a little bit more quicker, be quicker to some of his decisions or whatever. Also, with an improved defensive line play, it frees those linebackers up to look a lot better as well, to get sideline to sideline. So I actually look at the linebacker group and I say, starter-wise, I think we're going to be straight. We get into the, like, but if somebody go down depth wise, fatigue, I don't feel great about what's happening on, you know, behind those guys. And that's why I worry about, you know what I mean? Now, again, if one of those freshmen step up and play, take a step up and is able to jump into that starting spot, man, I'll be glad. But at this point, like you said, we haven't seen freshmen come in and really make any impact on the game.
Yeah, well, we haven't in a very long time. Well, we haven't recruited at that type of a level where a true freshman or a guy that's in year two of the program is taking huge steps like that. So, but ultimately, they need Omar Graham to be a player next year. They need Omar Graham to be a player. They need Gant to be a player. You know what I'm saying? And they got to find another guy. I mean, I'm not going to keep stressing this Lundy thing, but that is what that is. You know what I'm saying? They can hype that up every summer, and I'm pretty sure he's going to always win the Shorts Olympics. You know what I'm saying? But you got to get some guys that can run out there, man.
Well, just again, right, and this is why I'm going to say I'll be a little bit more critical just because I believe the goals are different. You know what I mean? Last year, we didn't know how many games we were going to win. We had no idea. Mm-hmm. Like, they ranged from 6 to 10. You know what I mean? And nobody had a clue of which one was right. And anywhere mm-hmm. in between, and all of them were correct, you know, predictions, right? The ones who predict 10, they looked like geniuses or whatever. The one who predicted mm-hmm. 6 also makes sense because, again, based on what we had seen in years past, there was no reason for you to think they was getting beyond 6. We didn't know this maturation. This year, though, isn't the same. So when we're saying, hey, we appreciate London for everything he's done, but you can't continue to roll him out here as your, you know, first off the bench, he can't be. Like, you
right.
To the goals that you want to have. You know what I mean? If the goal is the championship, Lundy, it can't be your first rotation.
Yeah, situationally, he does some things that you like. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, but
short yardage.
Yeah, short yardage. You need a thumper in the middle. Okay, that's mm-hmm. fine. I like it. But, you know, and the way modern college football is now, the way they're throwing the football and these running backs on wheel routes and stuff, man, tight ends on wheel routes, you don't need that. It's embarrassing. But let's get to the secondary, which I think is very interesting. They move Amari and Cooper to, like, a free safety role, I think. I think he's at a buck role, I think.
Mm-hmm. And they move somebody else to safety, too.
So they said they got him playing more like a nickel. So I'm confused by the Amari Cooper thing. So he must have hurt himself and now he can't run like he used to.
I don't know, honestly. And that's the only thing
that makes sense, though, right? That he can't run like he used to.
It ain't the only thing. I mean, it ain't the only thing. I mean, it is possible.
One of those cases, like, how can you be good your freshman year at cornerback, and you come back your next year, you're a complete disaster that you have to make a whole position change? That's, like, so odd to me. You know what I'm saying?
It could have been a flash in the pan. Beginners, I honestly have no idea. I look at it and say this. If they believe,
I mean, I do know he got I do know he got outclassed a little bit in that Florida game, that last game of the season, the Florida game. Remember the Florida game? He got they picked on him a lot. You know what I'm saying? So,
they picked on
him. I just don't know.
I just don't know if he ever had the footwork or the speed really to be a DB. Like, man, sometimes you can look good just because you're not playing elite quarterbacks. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's not like the ACC got a whole bunch of, you know what I mean, elite level players that was playing his freshman year. So I can look at Duke and I can say, I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know how good he is. I know last year he was not good at all. I know you got – that's a position that you recruited very well at. So if he wanted to play, hey, go to safety. And like Mantra just said, they actually said he's done well at safety.
Yeah, but they're going to say everybody –
sometimes those guys, man –
But has anybody, the
coaches made it a point to point out that he actually looked good.
Do they ever say anybody look bad? They never come out and say
no, you know, but they also didn't have it highlighted either, though. They usually just don't say nothing, though, right? Like, I think
but you know how they do. But you know, yeah, how they do. I mean, yeah. It's here. They do. If you ask about a player, oh yeah, he's working through it. Oh yeah, he's looking good. Oh yeah, then you find out the guy didn't even practice a whole week.
That's right about it. They do be lying. I agree. I'm just saying. I think Fuller made it a point to point out the fact that, you know, he actually looked good or whatever. The same way.
And do you think they're doing that because they don't want him to transfer?
Absolutely. I've told you. You got to recruit your current players, and you got to recruit other players now. It's different. So if you got to say something nice to him in public, so he can see his name, so his mama can read the fact that the coach said something good about it, hey man, do it. You know what I mean? And he actually might be looking good at safety. You know what I mean? Yeah, so if he actually is looking good at safety, this role works out better for him. Great. I mean, because again, I know he has some potential. You know what I mean? We know he actually does have some talent there. It's just a matter of putting him into the right positions. You know, our previous coach one of our previous coaches who should not be named, you know, move players around all the time. He saw that, hey, you weren't in the right position. I think you do better in this role.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's go. So, you know, let's hope that Duke can flourish in this safety role and, so who you got to start in there? If Duke's been moved to safety, Who's your starters?
Well, I think you go with Dent. I think Dent's going to be a safety. Brown's going to be the other safety. I think you're going to have to put the Fentral kid at the boundary corner. And I think the battle between Jones and Green is interesting. You know, if it was me, and I could go, I like big nickels personally because mm-hmm. I like the blitz nickels. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. if it was me, if I felt like I could get away with it, man, I would probably go with somebody like a Jerrion Jones. I do like the idea of Travis.
Think about that for a second, boy. You just said yeah. Jerrion Jones as.
Because I think the thing, but see. I like Green because he's physical and he is scrappy, you know, but I like long cornerbacks and stuff like that, Pauls. So I probably go, you know, the AZ Thomas thing is going to be interesting too because I think he can play outside, you know. So I'll probably put AZ outside of Fentral and probably go Jones in my nickel because I think Jones is more like a safety type anyway, to be honest with you.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I think he flashed at the end of last season a lot, right?
He was playing good at the end of last season.
It's funny you said that because when you said Jones, I was like, I think I might go with Jones just because, the way he played at the end of last year. But I do think it's, again, one of those good problems because I think if you tell me I got Green and Jones battling out for a spot, we know I think Fentrell is pretty much, you know, going to start that other spot. Coop at the back end, I do think you got a lot of talent all around. It's just a matter of what defense are they playing, who calling the plays, and how good do they look doing it. You know what I mean? Have we fixed the problem with the coaching change? Have we fixed the problem of the front end knowing what the back end is doing? Or the back end playing out of position, or
right.
the back end having some miscommunication issues because, you know, somebody's playing man, but the other people playing zone. You know what I mean? Like we there's clips mm-hmm. of we couldn't figure out whose fault it was. You know what I mean? And anytime I think you can look at the defense and not have a good idea of who was supposed to play what. Oh, I think he was supposed to cover over. You know what I mean? I think that's a sign of coaching, in my opinion. And Adam Fuller, mm-hmm. I know we've found a lot of stats to say that he's not been as bad as what we've made it to be. We're going to agree to disagree on that. But I do think if Adam Fuller is able to work better with our new DB coach, I think you can see some positives. But I think a lot of stuff that happened in that back end didn't have as much to do with talent, but had a lot to do with coaching and players being put in poor positions.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting with the defensive backs because, you know, you don't want to lose any guy for transfer. So, you know, I mean, but if you look mm-hmm. at if you just look at how many guys you got, you got a potential at 1, 2, 3. Hold on. You got a potential 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You got a potential about like 10 guys that's played a little bit for you and that
mm-hmm.
if these guys reach their potential, I mean, like if Travis J reaches his potential and is eligible and can play, I mean, would there be a better safety on the team than Travis J? Probably not. No. You know what I'm saying? No. You know what Akeem Dent is, right? You mm-hmm. know what Brown is. You know, those are three mm-hmm. really good safeties. You know what I'm saying? AZ Thomas, Green, Jerrion Jones, Fentral, that's pretty good. Kevin Knowles played a little bit for you last year. Greedy Vance, you know, personally, I think not having Kevin Knowles on the field is like a good thing, personally. But Greedy Vance, I know everybody loves Greedy, and everybody's saying Greedy's playing really good. You know, I'm not a big fan, mm-hmm. but at the same time, he did play a lot of football last year, and he was pretty good at the end of the season. So
another guy, Coach said, you know, Coach said he was looking good. He looked good in the yeah. spring. Yeah. I mean, in the practice.
Everybody looking good. We know.
Sam ain't falling for none of it.
No, bro, I just be tripping out. I be tripping out with them. You know, every time they ask about a player, they be like, oh, this guy doing this, I'm like, all right, everybody looks great. Okay, all right, cool. All right, awesome. Can we get to the game? It's like, that guy's looking good, huh?
You know, on the DBs, though, I think do you find it concerning that we don't hear AZ as much?
No, not really, because we've seen camps go by where you don't hear a guy. Like, it's like Pokey Wilson for, like, the last 3 years. Nobody ever talked about him, but he was always starting and making plays. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
Nobody ever mentioned Pokey until Pokey was in the end zone dancing. You'd be like, that's right, we do got Pokey out there. Whenever you needed a touchdown, you needed, it was a big game. All right, it's Pokey time. You know what I mean?
Like, but what I think happens is certain like spring football and football practice settings, you know, certain guys look better in shorts and in practice settings. Mm-hmm. And then other guys just, you know, they may not look as good, or they might be so consistent in what they do that nothing ever flashes. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just right. So consistent and nothing really mm-hmm. flashes to people. Like, you know, I always find it funny. Like, people keep talking about the Darian Williamson kid, right? Mm-hmm. Wide receiver. And yeah. I'll be like laughing because I'm like, dude, I cannot remember anything that he's done in a game that makes y'all feel like he's like the next Peter Ward. Like, I don't know what's going on with that. Like, but at the same time,
who said that? I can't. Somebody said that?
No, people be really talking Darian Williams up. Like, you ever be in some of these like Twitter chats and these Twitter chats that's and true. Stuff? They always talk about Darian Williams. Oh man, he's probably one of the most talented guys. He was in the. I'm like, is he? Where? Where is this happening at? Like, where is this stuff like, going?
Yeah, send me the footage.
I just imagine in practice maybe he does look like the absolute second coming of Randy Moss. I don't know, but I mean, I've never, you know, we've never seen it, but maybe it's true. So, and I just think a lot of times when you get guys in certain situations, I think some guys are better in football games than they are in practice. I think mm-hmm. some guys are better in, you know, certain situations, and I think that's why people talk up other people, you know what I'm saying? And so they talk about DJ London every year. Oh, he's in the best shape of his life. Oh, he's in it. And I'm seeing some running back beat him by the edge by like 5 yards. I'm like, okay, well, best shape of his life.
Nobody, I don't believe people still saying that. I think we've seen enough of Lundy to know who Lundy is.
Well, I just think it is what it is with these players. But sometimes I you have to feel content. You know, if you cover Florida State 24/7, 275, 375 about a year, I mean, you got to feel content. So you might talk about Stephen Dix comeback. You know what I'm saying? You might have a debut, have a Stephen Dix Jr. comeback and how he's in the greatest shape of all time. And, you know, they found some medical procedure that fixed his hip and now he's ready to run. And then, you know, and then nothing really comes of it, you know? So. That happens, man. It happens, you know? It happens. So I don't get upset about it, but it just is what it is. So okay. I think we're done with the defensive group pretty much. But the defensive back group is going to be interesting. So when you talk about guys that might transfer out, the only one I could really see the potential leaving is probably Kevin Knowles the second. He has room to transfer, but like Greedy Vance can't transfer because, you know, he's already transferred once. You know,
again,
Travis J could, but I mean, I don't think he would.
Here's the thing, and this is one, and the reason why I think we haven't seen a lot of transfers, we may see some after the spring game. You're gonna have to see a couple of them after the spring game, but I don't think you're gonna see mass exodus. And the reason why is because I do think people want to play for winners. Florida State hasn't been a winner, so it makes sense for people to leave and decide, all right, I don't want to, you know what I mean? Like, we ain't going nowhere, no way, we ain't doing nothing anyway, so if I ain't playing, I at least need to go to where I can play. I can go lose anywhere. But I think you can look around this year and they can say, man, I have a chance to be a part of a team that's going to be in, you know, top five for the majority of the season, going to be in big games, going to have a lot of really good matchups. And so I think they can look around and say, all I got to do is have a good game. I can flash, you know what I mean? I can have a couple flash plays, and it's going to elevate my profile versus me balling out over at, you know, Middle Tennessee State. You get what I mean? So I think you probably won't see as many players transfer just because of that. Not to mention, I do think you got a team who legit likes each other, too.
Well, I don't know about all that, but I think you get at least five transfers. I think you get five or six.
Oh, man.
So. I think you get five or six. I mean, when you go to the offensive side of the football, I mean, I can see five guys just off the rip. You know what I'm saying? Like, to my old linemen and some of these tight ends, that may not be any good. You know what I'm saying? So you never know.
Tight end. Again, we'll dive in all. I think defensively, though, I really don't see a lot of people leaving. I do think there is opportunities for.
I think there's a chance you keep. Yeah, I think there's a chance you can keep most of those guys. I'm just saying, if I could see guys leave, I mean, I could see, you know, maybe one out of the defensive back room, maybe one at the linebacker room.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. Yeah, that, but again,
I personally think all the defensive ends are going to stay. I think the defensive ends are going to stay, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if one left. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised at all. So, with that, let's go to, I think we got one last segment here. Recruiters looking pretty good, actually. Recruiter looking pretty good. Feeling pretty good about recruiting. How you feeling?
I will say this. For the first time ever, I think this is the time where I can look around and say, I feel like they are on the right track. You know what I mean? Just there was a long period of time where we weren't even in in the top players, top 10.
Right.
Let alone top five. You know what I mean? Let alone top three. Right now, you're getting visits from all the top players where you couldn't even get you couldn't host the visit. You like they weren't coming. We don't need to see it. We good. You know what I mean? We appreciate you. And the ones who did come never had you on their list. Not for real. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, now you are projected to in a lot of top players. Again, we don't cover recruiting like that, so I'm not finna, you know, rattle off a whole bunch of names. But every time I look up on, you know, I'm on social media, I'm on these, you know, on fan sites and stuff. A lot of five stars, a lot of four stars, a lot of top, you know, blue chip players have Florida State in their top five, have, you know, articles. They're leaning this way, you know, good players. Hey, I think we might shut it down. I think we're going to stick with Florida State. Those are things that didn't happen and hasn't happened in the past. So I think this may be the best. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just a cohesion, if, you know, Mike has learned better on the job and he's improved in some areas. I can't say for sure what it is, but what I can tell you is that they are in a much better place when it comes to recruiting and being able to secure a top 10 class than they've been in the past, you know, 3 years, 4 years.
I think they're doing much better in recruiting. I got to see them close out a number 10 class. I got to see that for myself. It's still waiting to see. But I think they definitely finished top 15, which that'd be a huge leap from what they've done in the past. I think recently they've been hitting, 22, 23, I think. So this year they have a chance, I think, to hit 15, which that's a pretty big jump in talent if you can get your 22, 23 players and hit them in the top 15. I think your quarterback position pretty much set. I think what you're going to have to do, what you're doing in the offensive line is going to be pretty dope. I think you're going to keep that running back. I was concerned about him last year. I'm going to be honest with you, I'm still a little concerned about Cam Davis. You know,
Cam said he almost ready to shut it down, though.
Yeah, they are.
And that was one of the players. And that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like,
That's why I never can get into recruiting, because these kids be like, oh, I'm finna shut it down. Oh, this is where I want to go.
And then they'll be at Alabama next week.
Then next thing you know, you on signing day, and they throwing your hat across the stadium.
They got three hats, one you ain't seen before this whole recruiting cycle. You be like, wait, when did they get in there? When did they get involved?
And then you don't got some kind of way. You find out that you're emotionally tied to what some teenager is just decided to do or not do. I don't like that.
The Travis Hunter one ended me. I'm out. Travis Hunter one ended me. I'm out. After Travis Hunter, that was the one that put me off. If y'all don't hear us talk recruiting, it's because of Travis Hunter, man. Like, I can't follow player. I was emotionally invested in Travis Hunter's life. And when I started getting no phone calls that early in that week, you know, I was like, nah, this ain't gonna happen.
Yeah.
And then it happened. Yeah. So no, I can't do it.
It is what it is, man. But I think if they can just get a top 10, top 15 to 10. So they get 15 to 10, I'd be pretty happy with that type of class. I'm gonna tell you right now, we haven't even got to the offense yet.
I was gonna say, you have to come back next week. Yeah, come back next week.
I plan on hopefully we can do one middle of the week, you know, so we can finish on the offensive side. But yeah, man. So I feel like they're gonna finish with the top 15 class, which, you know, I'll take that any day of the week. I think if they can hit it right, maybe they can hit a top eight, top seven class. So that's ideally, that's kind of really where you want to be at. They can be there consistently.
I think that's what they want to, again, along with them having championship aspirations. I do believe I think Mike wants to be able to say, I've you know, secured a top 10 class. You know what I mean? Whether it's 10, 7, or 8, I don't think it matters. I do believe he wants to be able to say, I've now secured the top 10 class, because what that means is now we can say, all right, this year is not just a flash in the pan because you got a lot of seniors and you know got a lot of guys returning. But at least in the future, we can say, all right, we got some guys who are coming who should also be able to take us in, you know, who we can continue this level of success. And that's, I think, what will tell us how good Mike Norvell is. Can he continue this same level of success outside of just, you know, a 1 year where, again, I'm trying, you know how you try to like calm yourself down from saying like they could possibly win the championship. But I mean, realistically, that's really where they can't, you know, what their goals are. That's what I believe they can do. And so in my opinion, you know, recruiting is where it starts. They've done a really good job this year. Again, they're in rooms that they haven't been in the past. They're in the top fives of players who hadn't get paid them any mind in the past. And so right now, they just got to close. And I think they do close. And I think they do close if they end up winning the games that they should win. They go out there and ball out this year. They again, in the top four or whatever. Those guys who are who are in the top three, you're going to pull them. You know what I mean? Whoever's in their top five, top three, they're going to pull them. Like you said, they are. They've gotten better recruiting every single year. They've gotten better at coaching every single year. Me and you said first, you know, this isn't a learn on the job program. You got to come out here. We were wrong in that one. Or at least I know I was wrong in that. You know, this is he has learned on the job and he's improved every single year. And I think that's a mark of a good coach and a good program. So, hey, keep working, keep getting better.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing, right? You know, keep making adjustments to your staff, you know, recruit better. I think the coaching here is pretty solid. You know, I think coaching is pretty solid. So the coaching is solid. You just got to recruit better. And I think, it's hard, man. You know, it's so hard winning that championships.
It really is.
I was talking to me and Will were talking about this about, we were having that debate about Terrell Davis or whatever. And, you know, he was like, well, Elway didn't win anything before Terrell Davis was on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Elway went to fucking five Super Bowls. I mean, you get credit for going. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was winning.
Wait, hold on. You get credit for going to the Super Bowls? I thought they didn't get no credit because if you ain't win them, according to the LeBron James versus Jordan argument, you don't get no credit for it.
Twitter nowadays, the social media sports talk debates, you don't get credit for winning these games, going to these games. And I give people credit for going. You get credit for going. Now, but we talk about degrees of separation. It's the reason why we consider Montana better than Elway, right? Because Montana won them Super Bowls. You know what I'm saying? We lost a lot of Super Bowls, but still great. You know what I'm saying? We talk about degrees of greatness.
I'm just trying to see. I'm just trying to see where it's at.
I'm not finna do a LeBron James versus Michael Jordan debate on this podcast.
No. I was just trying to make sure we're keeping it consistent. You know what I mean?
I've been consistent about this. You know, I told you, what did I tell you 4 years ago? I said LeBron James is gonna be statistically the greatest basketball player to ever play the game. Did I not say that?
You did? Yeah.
I said that several times.
And he is.
And he still won't be better than Michael Jordan. Okay.
And we don't have no argument there. We don't have no argument. I've always said Jordan is over LeBron.
Because when I turn on ESPN and I see people like Donovan Mitchell going for 85 points and shit, I'm like, what are we doing?
Hey, I ain't gonna lie to you. When I watch these NBA games now, man, it's just okay. So we ain't playing no defense. All right, got it. So these are all-star games essentially. You know what I mean? All right. Bro. So the NBA is basically every night's all-star game until I get maybe the playoffs. They'll play defense. I don't know because I said the same thing watching the all-star game. Like, all right, it's fourth quarter. They're gonna play defense now. And they never did. Like, and I started watching NBA games, and it's the same thing. Nobody's playing defense. Like, it's just dribble, shake, shoot. It's real bad. I ain't gonna lie. I can't even watch NBA games no more. It's real bad. Like,
bro, it ain't fun. It's Okay, that's all I be saying. So I'm just, that's why I told everybody, whatever. I don't want to hear NBA stats no more. I get it. Everybody scored a lot of points. I get it. Everybody get the triple doubles. Gotcha. Okay. All right. That don't make the NBA, that don't make this shit better. Okay. That's just numbers. Okay. I'm watching these games. Okay. I'm watching these games.
Yeah. Just, yeah. Okay. It's Sunday, so there'll be some NBA games on right now. You park yourself in front of the TV and watch what's going on in basketball. You're going to be like, okay, I got it. All right.
So, yeah, but I mean, right, so at the end of the day, though, I'm liking what I'm seeing out of FSU and Norvell. I really do. I think the season's going to be really good, but we're going to get to the offense next week. I want to get it sometime next week. I want to do something on offense, and I want to talk about the game philosophy. I think is going to change a little bit because of what the offense is doing now. So I'm actually kind of excited about that. And I'm working on a big guest. I'm hoping I get him because I want to get him on here so he can talk about offensive line play. I think that'd be very cool.
Yeah,
so he played for. Yeah, so I'm working on that. So hopefully I can get that done. So yeah, man.
Got anything? Listen. No, same thing, man. I do think we have a very good season. I think me and Sam both probably will be at the spring game. So we might, you know what I mean? We might have some fun together. You know what I mean? Like I say, me and Jackson is a very big city and me and Sam stay on like 45 minutes, probably apart from each other. So
we're actually, we don't anymore though. We don't anymore. I'm over on Chafee now.
Say less. I didn't know you was off of Chafee. Okay. Well yeah, now you right around the corner then. All right. Yeah. Well, listen, we're going to have to definitely get together then. But yeah, man, like I said, well, Sam used to be 45 minutes from, you know what I mean? Sam used to be 45 minutes from me. So, you know, we get a chance to hang out like we need to, man. But, you know, like I said, this season, we're gonna do things a little differently. And we definitely going to try, like I said, we're going to try to go to the spring game. And we'll have some listen up shirts or whatever with us. We'll make some things, man. We're going to do some things this season because I do have a feeling this is going to be a very, very, very good season, and so we want to make sure we you know y'all favorite podcast is represented. So
all right, man. Oh man, somebody talking about the March Madness rankings. You know what's funny, dude? Kansas State, I like watching them play, but man, FAU just took them all up and threw it, man.
them South Florida boys hooping.
Yeah, they took the ball up and threw it, man. But all right, man, that's the pot. All right, that's
the pot. Mike, we got you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that was funny.
Third listen up podcast. Yeah.
Serve crack. Uncle fronted me some pizza.